Recording.
Well, my gosh, look where we are. We're back. You're on one side of the world, I'm on the other. I'm wearing a sweater, you're wearing tank tops. You're obviously someplace
We're in
gorgeous
our
and warm.
we're in our onesies.
Your
We're
onesie.
actually naked from the waist down, but yes, we're in Bali. We're way up north in Bali.
That's TMI.
Well, we just thought we would just Well,
full
maybe that'll
disclosure. Well, not full disclosure, but
maybe that holds their interest a little bit longer, or quickly they dump on us.
no, you're just a big tease, that's all.
Right.
But anyway, so yes, we're once again with our friend Nancy Ward, and we're here to actually talk about the tail end of our South American trip, but we wanted to just let our listeners know that we are in Northern Bali at a naturist resort, a fantastic place. You can learn all about it on our Instagram page and our website. But today we'll defer that conversation about Indonesia.
Well, it's so funny because when Paul and I were chatting a few days ago and trying to find a time to connect with you again, Nancy, it was like, wow, well, what's there to say about the rest of South America? And I'm like, oh my God. And we were in the pool just the other day and we started like revisiting all of our memories. So here we are today.
We have
And
a full podcast.
oh my gosh, Paul, why don't you
We
start
do.
with the first story?
I think we need to get going.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'll switch this to the other view. Of course, I have to put my glasses on. Put your glasses on and
Yeah,
let's
well,
get the
he's.
full view of the two of you, half dressed and half not,
Right.
and what looks to be like a gorgeous room.
Yeah, actually, this is the main kind of
The open lobby area
yes.
of the hotel. There's only 10 rooms at this hotel. Anyway, we'll tell you all about that at Anyway,
another time.
But what we do want to start with is telling you about
Iguazu Falls
in Brazil, in northern Brazil.
and
So
Argentina, because we were able to get on both sides
that's
of that
right.
water. And my gosh, Nancy, it just was so powerful. And I don't know, it just gives me goosebumps telling you about the water energy at the falls.
Well, it's one of
So
those like internationally renowned waterfall systems of three country borders and a few lake river systems that come together and drop an extraordinary amount of water, magnitudes larger than the Niagara Falls. And I think a little smaller than Victoria Falls, but it's right up there. It's a huge volume of water. We have actually a few pictures to share about it as well.
It's like
So.
when we were dropped off into the park, we took a shuttle on in, and it's kind of like, yeah, we're going to the falls. And as we just kept, and it's so well laid out and the design is so beautiful. So we were just kind of navigating in with the other tourists, and it wasn't super crowded when we were there. But the closer we got to the water, it just became obvious
So
that
you can see here, are you seeing the map on your screen? Yes.
yeah.
So this is on the Brazil side. There's actually a state, national parks on both the Brazil side and Argentina side that are both very well done.
Yeah.
This is the map of the Brazilian side. And you can see where you get dropped off over there on the left, and then you kind of meander down toward the water. So it's a beautiful approach to the water. And
Yes.
then, boy, the falls are really spectacular. There we are in front of one of the waterfalls, and the falls are all over the place. It's not just walk up to some
Right.
little falls somewhere. It's massive, as you can see here.
Yeah. And even you
Wow.
can see kind of the iconic rainbow in the lower left-hand corner. And those photographs, you usually see like these massive rainbow reflections.
And
And
there at my chin, down from my chin and out, you can see the walkway that we walked out onto that area out into the actual falls.
that's where it felt like too damn many people. And the spray of the water was so intense. I'm like, Paul, I'm gonna go out and see if I can get a great picture. But I ended up like halfway out there,
Too wet.
just completely drenched. And I just like, almost head down, trying not to hit people as I'm walking. And I just bailed. So
So
the view.
we did find some place to stretch our arms out a little bit like that.
Oh
And then we had some selfies in the
super
thing.
wet.
It was really nice and got quite happy about everything.
I'm thrilled.
And then here's just a little video of us
This Nancy.
going, and we took a river, a raft in the warm afternoon heat, and they drove us into one of the waterfall
Oh,
systems.
two, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was so cute because the girls in front of us, a family, and then there are women behind us. So the energy was like super fun and screaming. And, like we were on a carnival ride and getting completely drenched,
Yeah, it was really fun.
completely drenched.
And just aware that we might breathe water instead of air there for a while. So,
That looked like so much fun.
yeah.
It was a memory forever. I'm so like I said to Paul when we were over on the Argentinian side, it's like this place is really one of my favorite places that we've traveled to. It was
Really?
aesthetically
Yeah.
incredible.
And we took our time because we had a couple several days, I think 3 nights on the Brazil side at the conclusion of our Brazil trip, which we'll tell you a little bit of some additional things about Brazil at the end of the podcast. But we then went over on the Argentina side, which is literally just sort of driving over. It was the easiest
Yeah, like
border. They
20
don't even
minutes.
really check. So, and then we spent a couple of nights over there on in a lodge right on the river and just chilled out and didn't really do the activities that we'd already done on the Argentina side. We just rested. And then we went to bed. We normally go to bed about 9 o'clock, and we were planning
We do.
to this has to do with our emergency plane landing story, by the way, as we segue.
Oh, boy.
So we went to bed in Argentina, ready to get up the next day and get on to the Argentina airline system and take a flight direct to Mendoza. I was so proud of ourselves that we found this flight because Mendoza was where we wanted to go to celebrate the grape harvest season and explore some of one of Argentina's premier wine growing areas.
So I'm sipping my coffee and I hear Paul going, "Oh my God, oh my God, damn." And I'm like,
So we woke up
"What
the next
happened?"
day, and just moments after we had gone to bed the night before, Argentina Airlines sent a message saying, "We're on strike tomorrow. All flights are canceled." So here we are, kind of like bum in the b middle of bum whatever, nowhere, in Brazil. And so there are two international airports, one on the Brazil side there that's kind of really the Brazil airline system, and one on the Argentina side.
And even one in Paraguay, which we managed to zip over to Paraguay for lunch.
Yeah, but we didn't care about their airport
We
because
tried.
it was not as close as the other one.
Right.
So I got online and I found, long story short, a flight that left from the Brazil side that was going to Santiago, Chile. So I couldn't find anything that was really a good connection or a reasonable price because we had to start from scratch and actually buy the ticket.
And
That
we were kind of done with that hotel. It was like,
we were leaving no matter
it
what.
was like just we need to push on.
So we found this flight that goes to Santiago, and Santiago, Chile, and Mendoza, Argentina aren't really that far apart. So we were able to put together that in addition to landing at, we
Midnight.
could make the flight and land at midnight in Santiago. And then I booked us bus tickets the next day over the Andes to
Which sounded
Mendoza.
wonderful. Ten
Yeah, it would have been a
hours.
cool, it's only a 10 hours, a little long,
Yeah,
but
so many people said, "Oh, that's a really a sweet ride to
so
go up and
a
over the end."
reasonable 10-hour bus ride over the Andes to Mendoza, where we wanted to be for, we had appointments and things planned to do there and stay in a nice hotel. So we get on the flight, no problem. And on during the flight, they come on and say, "We have to make an emergency landing." And that's actually like all they say. The flight's full.
And we've never heard this in
We've
all the
never
flying we've
been,
done.
So
And it's like, brace yourself.
no,
What's
they didn't say anything.
no,
No,
but in my head,
but
I'm like
I know we're
going into
like
all this, like, oh my
it
God.
must be mechanical. And here we are in the air. We're at like 35,000 feet, and we have to make an emergency landing.
Guess where? Mendoza,
So
where we were going.
the plane lands, the Santiago bound plane lands in Mendoza,
And
which
they
is your
are.
ultimate destination.
It
Yeah.
was.
So once we
It was.
Hit the ground, we realized, okay, it wasn't like a landing gear issue. All the wheels kept moving to complete stop.
Yes.
And then
No
they only
fire.
then they announced that it was a medical emergency of a passenger on board. We
Yeah.
were near the front of the plane, and the emergency was in the back, and so we didn't really have any knowledge of that
It
until
was a
they told
young,
us.
kind of like a high school boy, maybe 15,
Yeah.
that they offloaded, and apparently he had stopped breathing.
Right, really low blood pressure, and it was enough of an emergency. Ultimately, we learned that he got back on the flight, which of course
Yeah,
was like, what the hell?
he did.
But he didn't even have to like stay off the flight. But
Very long.
so here we are in a country. We start in Brazil and we're bound for Chile, but we end up in Argentina. You can imagine that the administrators want to talk to each other, right? So we're on the ground for a
Like,
while they figure out what's going on.
geez,
So
90
then
minutes. So I'm sitting there, after the kid is offloaded, and we're just like, there's communication between the countries because here we are now in
right,
Mendoza.
and we're in like row two, so they open the door and we can see outside. So
So I'm like, doing a Google Translate on my phone, requesting that Paul and I could just get off the plane, that this was actually our destination. And Paul's looking at me like, oh my God, this is an emergency. Don't bother them. And so I'm like, hey, in under or in grad school, my favorite advisor, Dennis Fahey, I hope you're still alive, Dennis, because his wisdom is you can always ask. They would maybe say no, but a no is okay. So I take my phone up very nicely and she reads it and she just kind of shakes her head and she's like, no, I don't think so. Well, I go back to my seat and it's like, okay, that's a done deal.
it
We'll
was like
just
a
fly on
more like a
to
couple of hours on the
Santiago.
ground,
Yeah,
a
we
couple of
were.
hours.
And so a little while, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes later, the
Felt like,
pilot is looking straight at me and he's doing
oh
this.
boy, he's being
And I
reprimanded now.
thought,
He has to go to
oh.
the
And
principal's
I'm looking
office.
behind me because I was like, okay, he's not me. It's like somebody else back there. It must be a flight attendant that he's like, come up here. And then he just kind of looks at me and I get out of my seat and very nicely walk forward. And he just said, so you need to land and stay here? Is that what you want? And I said, yes. I said, is that possible? And he said, I think so. He said, if, and this is weird, if we can get 25 people to off plane, then it'll be okay. So I go back to the seat. It gets announced that, yes, those of us that had, planned on being in Mendoza could just stay. Well, ultimately, there were only 17 that happily got off this plane. Meanwhile, like a mother behind us was just grumpier than all get out because, they were just sitting on the plane with her little kid and like others. So it's
I
like,
don't even remember
oh,
that.
I think it's like 1:30 in the morning, and we're now in a holding pattern outside, right on the concourse in Mendoza, just standing there. And the shuttle bus comes over, and we're like, Paul immediately is he's like, I'm just going to get on board because they're going to take us into the airport.
Yeah, I didn't need to admire the tarmac. It's like, okay, we can
But
get off. Here's the bus, get on, let's go. And the
it
thing
wasn't
is,
like that. So
well, it was just a little bit of a delay. But the
another
thing
half hour.
is that the airline, and it was Jet Airways or something, I forget. It's this Smart Jet Airways,
Yeah.
Smart Jet,
Yeah.
something like that. Brazilian, or yeah, Brazilian airline, took very good care of us, actually. And so we had to say goodbye to our luggage, which went on to Santiago. They weren't able to do that, which I'm not
Right.
surprised. Can you imagine opening
Well,
the
they.
bottom of the plane and finding the right luggage for 17 people? It's insane. So that was fine. We were fine with that. But what was really a big surprise was the airline paid for our hotel room in Mendoza that night. So they
Right, because.
shuttled us in, and we kind of all got the VIP treatment, and the guy that met the plane couldn't have been like a better customer service sort of person to take care of us.
Yeah.
And so they get us out to
Travel vouchers, food
we
vouchers.
went to the hotel where the in down like a few blocks from our hotel where we were destined,
Yeah, the
actually, and the
beautiful
next morning.
high-end hotel.
Our next night. But
Yeah.
we just went to where the flight attendants and the pilots are always put up on their overnights. It was that sort of a contract hotel that they have. So they drove us down. Yeah, you want to ask a question?
Did you ever find out why they paid for your hotel?
No,
No, we
that
didn't
one
want to
we
ask.
sometimes you don't want to ask.
Well, it's
So.
funny. I'm good to, because just yesterday, Paul's like going, you know, the refund really was pretty minimal that they gave us from the
Yeah.
airline.
Well,
And
the
so,
Argentina, the other flight, you know, it was a non-refundable ticket. So of course, when you agree to the terms, you know how we all do for anything to keep going with our computing, you know, you're just like signing away all your
So
rights
maybe that's why
repeatedly.
the universe just kind of like, okay, well, we'll just pay off your night and your breakfast. And yeah,
Wow.
so we
It all
checked in
came
at the
out in the wash.
hotel. I swear it was like 2:30, 2:45 in the morning when we got into
We
that
were happy,
hotel.
like I say, we were like about, we were walking distance literally to the other hotel where we were
Perfect.
staying. We were staying right on Independencia Square in Mendoza, and it was at the Park Hyatt. And maybe this is a good segue. We're going to
It's
talk
a
about, we want to talk to you about the Vendimia annual
wine
named
festival.
ceremony wine festival that we were participating in with about several thousand other people. But we also were there to visit a very specific winery, and it was the lady that we were connected with at the vineyard who told us to just stay at the Park Hyatt, which was a little bit more than what we intended to spend, but we got to buy 2 nights and get one free. So we were going to stay 4 nights. And the first night was the night we weren't going to make, right? So I called the hotel and they were like, no problem. We'll waive the fee given what's happened. We won't, you know, because otherwise, you know, usually pay for the, if you're canceling on the day of, it's sort of like, wah, wah, too bad. And it was,
Exactly.
you know, it was a large, it was a big price tag. So
Yeah.
they let us out of our first night, but we still, because we were still the 3 nights remaining, we still got pay for 2 nights and get three. So it was a pretty
Yes.
decent deal. And staying in that hotel, just a few blocks from the airline hotel, was the place to be because it was ground zero for the celebration of this Vendimia. Like we met the vice president of Argentina, not
Well,
personally.
stop it.
But
We
there were all
saw
these
her outside the
dignitaries
window.
there. There were like the ceremonies came by, the parades all ended there. We were like in the middle of like a circus at the Park
It
Hyatt.
was like ground zero for all the activity because this Mendoza region has this annual event where they select a queen to represent these regions. And so the parade on Saturday night is just like this, endless queens,
I think it was
representing
Friday
their
night.
region. Was
Yeah.
it Friday?
It was, but a parade at night and then a parade the next day, different.
So people at the parade have baskets like on poles because all of these princesses, because you only get one queen on the final night, and she happened to be from Mendoza City, which was Mendoza City's very first queen. So the city was very, very happy to get her. But there, each region throws products
Melon,
that,
melons.
well,
No, melons
yes,
into the
the
basket.
melon growing region actually throws big melons at people. And I'm
Serious?
serious. It's like the guy at the front desk at this hotel, he's like, be careful because you could get hit by a melon. And we're like, oh
Okay,
yeah,
we'll
sure.
be on the lookout.
You're just like joking with these, North Americans. Oh no. No. So that very first night parade, we were kind of like, oh, wow. Okay. And we didn't even last because it just kept coming, and it was getting quite late.
Well,
Right.
but it turns out that the hotel room that they put us in, very nice room, was on the outside. You know how sometimes you walk down the corridor and you don't know if you're going to have your rooms on the left or the right. Just so happened that our room was on the exterior view that was the side of the hotel that was going to give us the view of the parade as it
Coming
went by.
back
So we walk back from the parade and we get
again.
to our room. It's still going on. It ends at the hotel.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing some of the same floats that we had seen as it had snaked
Only
its way
from
through
our
the
high,
city.
I don't know what, fourth floor perch or something.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It was
Yeah.
perfect. And so, well, when you make reference to the Argentinian vice president, I see like the following day, there seems to be more like activist groups and more humans marching in the parade, in addition to all these princesses yet to be, discovered yet again. So all this parade's going on, and I look down and I see people just running towards the side doorway because the VP, the new vice president, and we had talked about the government change in Argentina in our previous podcast
Podcast,
with
yeah.
you, right? And so I'm like looking down the window edge and snapping photos of her. And the parade is just marching by, and we're like, oh heck, we don't even need to go out to the street to observe it. Well, eventually I did navigate down out in front of the hotel, like Paul said. It just marches right on by. The activity of dance troupes just was like, well, it was kind of like being in Carnival.
Right,
And
we have
I was snapping
oops.
photos, shooting videos. It just the energetic for this wine festival
Yeah, we
was
have just a little
over the
video.
top.
Here's just a this is the day. This is a little just a we'll watch
I
just
love the wine
a
glass
few
out
seconds
being held up.
of the day of the daytime.
Yeah, I mean, the
Do you
guy
see
with,
that, Nancy?
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah, and the guy holding that wine glass was like serving his wine from the hotel to thirsty people as they were going by. But look at the costume.
Oh,
yeah, the whole thing
I
was
mean, this is
really
just a
sweet.
tiny piece of
Wow.
the beautiful people. Now here's the men coming through.
Oh my
Okay.
gosh,
Yeah.
look at those costumes.
I
Yeah.
know. I know.
Yeah, these
Okay.
are tame compared to what we're going to show you at Carnival in Brazil,
Now,
by the way.
meanwhile, these people have been marching. This is kind of the tail preview station, the cameras were around there.
Yeah.
So they had to pick up the pace again for TV because this
But
was all on TV.
yeah, it was a wonderful cultural kind of look into
Yeah.
a really fun regional celebration in Mendoza. So anyway, yeah, that's what we had to show you for the
So
Vendimia.
we
So,
didn't even know this was happening, by the way, because, in 2019, Paul's family was having a big reunion
Right.
in Bowling Green, Ohio. And
The
so
Sposato
the
reunion.
Sposato family reunion. So all of a sudden, like, I just remember that I had seen online that there is a Sposato family
Vineyards
vineyard,
in Mendoza, Argentina.
Argentina. And the owner is based in Net.
Delaware.
I keep saying it, she's in Delaware, and her name is Karen Spizzato, a beautiful woman.
But
She is like the super light of Spizzato Winery.
yeah.
So she's like, oh, be sure and enjoy, yada, yada, stay here. This festival is happening, and I'll see you there.
Right, and we've been in touch with her for years, and at our reunion we tried to get some of the wine shipped. But moving wine between US states doesn't
It
always work.
never happened.
Sometimes it
She
can
just
work,
couldn't
and
get the
so
distributor
we
to
ended up
make
not
that
getting it.
happen.
But
So
visiting this
I'm like,
winery,
Paul, we have to go there.
yeah, we've always for years we've been trying to go from since before COVID.
Yes, I was determined that we had to go visit Spezzato family vineyard.
So, and then just a little back segue with the whole airline debacle. I mean, we wanted to get to Mendoza because we had a this was an arrival on Thursday, ultimately. The emergency landing was early Thursday morning. We had Friday morning arranged for a private tour at the winery.
Which was really
So we
only
were going to
like
make it, but
20 minutes
we
from
were
the hotel.
determined, even if we had to take that bus all day, that day from Santiago, which we ended up not having to do.
Right.
But we were going to the winery. So we were celebrating the Vendimia, which was two parades and actually a huge amphitheater event as well on Saturday night.
And we had tickets for
And we
that.
had tickets for that.
That's where the queen got selected.
Yeah. So we were, targeting these two main activities. And so we did get to the Spezzato Winery.
So yes, and it was like, our driver just throws us out, where we're supposed to go, and took us a little while to kind of like, hello, we're here, because there wasn't like a just a door that you walk in. You have to prearrange right to
To
in to
visit.
visit. So we get in and we meet Carla. Karen had a family emergency and was not able actually to leave the States to come down for the
Yeah,
festival.
at the
So
last minute, because we thought she would be there too, but we met the rest of the staff, basically. I mean, it was VIP treatment. It was so fun.
Carla takes us through, and you can see all this at hotelguys.com.
And we have a couple pictures to show you too.
And so Carla is just, again, another big bright light that represents Spezzato Winery. Like, no one else probably could. Here comes a butterfly right into us. I love that. So we do the grand tour. We go down into the caverns. We're in places that we've really never seen inside a winery. And we've, you know, growing up, I felt like I grew up in Oregon. I was like visiting so many wineries. And so we do this whole tour and they ask, well, would you like to have lunch with us? And so they gave us lunch choices.
Right, which we didn't really know.
Had no idea.
Well, so let me just see if I can see what I can see.
So we ordered, you know, fresh salmon. And we met, you know, while we were there, actually, the manager were being interviewed by some wine connoisseur, bigwig, and they went through like everything that was possible to taste.
Oh, that's not what we want to show
don't
you
show
not
them
yet.
That no, that's a nice teaser though. And so that was fun to have them in the background while we were just being served, like, I don't know, it felt like a four-course meal. And this is very, very common to go to a winery and to stay.
There we are. That's what I want to show you.
So, yes. So here we are.
Set lunch with, we tasted the wines and they served us a wonderful lunch.
And we tasted so many great wines that we also love. We ended up just buying two bottles because we're flying, and actually brought one of those bottles back to Portland as kind of the housewarming gift for my son Levi and his wife Emily. So the four of us, when we returned that brief period of like 5 nights to put things in storage before we zipped off to Japan, we enjoyed this Sposato wine with them. So
do you want to maybe let Nancy breathe or
no, please don't. I'm in trouble.
So, you know, all of this is going on. And at one point, I'm just sitting there and, you know, I'm kind of the crier and I'm just looking at Paul and we're like, finally, we're here. We're doing this.
It was a great experience.
And so I'm like, I'm getting teary just telling that story. You would think it was like, that was my name, right? And that I just like met all my ancestors. And, you know, the grapes aren't even grown right where we were. They're up in the hillside somewhere.
Yeah, nearby. But this is their processing plant. And we got into the basement, the fermentation basement. And it was
so
really cool.
After 6 hours, we're like, bye, Carla. You know, goodbye.
Yeah, we were
everyone.
There like 6 hours.
Thank you. Thank you. And as we're going out, trying to figure out how to get out, Paul hits the right button. Well, what does he do? He lets in this big truck loaded with their fresh pick for the harvest processing.
Full of grapes.
And so, of course, you know, it's like, come back in. And so we got to see a little bit of that. And I shot a video.
Okay, they threw some grapes at us from the truck and we got to taste them as they were. They'll be processed
within hours,
over the next several hours.
Yeah, yeah. So any
mission,
memory?
I mean, mission accomplished. You know, we had quite the story of, I mean, I feel like we bended the universe in order for that plane to like land right where we needed to be. And we had our wonderful Mendoza memory.
Forever.
You know, we didn't do tons in Argentina overall. You know, we, in our last podcast, talked about our month in Buenos Aires, which was really cool. And then from there, you know, we went into Brazil, ending at Iguazu Falls. And we want to talk to you about the carnival in Brazil, but it was a wonderful ending to our Argentina time. And there's certainly more to do in Argentina. We missed Patagonia. And of course, because we had to go home in that time to kind of transition things at the house, we missed the other far reaches of northern Argentina, which have some beautiful, very mystical, mysterious mountain areas and sand flats. And
I would go back to
salt flats. So there's more to see in Argentina. We're going to keep an eye on
the people are just like, I don't know, the energetics of the people in Mendoza was very different than Buenos Aires. I'll just say that.
Yeah, well, smaller city, you know, and but it's a wonderful culture. I love it. You'd think we would have learned a little more Spanish by now. But should we pivot to Carnival or Easter Island? What, Nancy, what do you want to say anything, number one, and which do you prefer to
Well,
hear next?
no, I think, you're in that region. Let's talk about Carnival.
Okay.
Wow.
So we have a few
Carnival.
more pictures to share with you as well. Yeah, Brazil was really fun. We were on the beach in Uruguay for a month after Buenos Aires, and that was a very kind of down low,
Yeah.
easy month.
Playa Chihuahua, you know, our
Nature's
tour,
place.
our tour is the all natural tour, so of course we have to have our clothes off a bit.
A third of the time is our goal.
And I loved that beach just from the standpoint of our little Airbnb apartment. I could be there in like 10 minutes walking.
We were really
So,
on the beach. I mean, the house is built on sand. So that was fun. But the reason there's not much else to say about that.
No, chill
But
out.
we did see our good friend that we had met on our trip to Turkey, which was fantastic. She'd had one of the
That's
participants
right.
on that was a
Cammy.
Uruguayan woman. And we
Yeah.
had a chance to see her, which was
Yeah,
fabulous.
she took us out.
But we were able to find a direct flight to the southern city of Florianopolis in Santa Catarina state of Brazil. And this is first time for us, Brazil. And it just feels like kind of this big country in South America with almost as many people as the US. And
Yes.
there's not, it just feels a little bit like mysterious in a
So
way.
as the
So it was
hotel
really a
guys,
fun adventure for us.
because we do hotel reviews, you know, we pick a hotel that we really probably should have stayed like 3 nights instead of five. And it was like this surfer vibe. So everyone's like really handsome, buff, and there were a lot of gay men in that
Just like
region.
us, you know.
You know,
So
so we're not those guys anymore, right?
fit right in.
So
But also
in another life.
because it was Carnival season and we were there before Fat Tuesday, what we learned was there actually are a lot of out of country tourists there. A lot of Argentinians actually come to Florianopolis. It's a very popular and comfortable place for a lot of gay people. But overall in Brazil, that is a very comfortable feeling everywhere. We certainly felt that way.
So Paul had purchased our tickets for this event, which the gates were opening at 5:30. They actually probably opened at 6, and we're in line. Well, we hear the parade already happening, okay? And we're not even in the little section venue because you can buy like all these different places and different levels, and you can't go in here,
It
but
was
you
a
can drink
little
here.
complicated, but
So,
we had a great ticket. And these what this is it's in a samba school like fairgrounds. They think of it as like a county fairgrounds in the United States set up. And opposite the building where they all practice, and they take this very seriously, there are different samba schools groupings. And it felt to me like, I don't know, in some instances, there were as many as like 1,000 people in each school, or
It
seven
felt like it.
600 to like 1,000 people in each school.
Just
And it's school
moving.
after school after school from 5:30 p.m. till like 5:30 a.m. I mean, it ran like all
Wow.
night. And we as
So
we were
we're
getting in our Uber at finally at like 1:30,
one,
not to rush to the end, there were still other people, other citizens
dancers.
coming to get ready to march. And
They were like the last, probably, well, maybe not even the last group, because
So we have
it was endless, and then there would be like a break,
some
and
pictures.
then there'd be like a signal of fireworks going off, and that was kind of like, okay, everyone come back, and here's another entourage
So
of
it's just what
dancers.
you can see here on the screen
Okay,
now.
this woman,
It's just what you expect. This
she
is we put her on our home
and
page.
I like really connected. I looked into her eyes, she came over to
Oh,
me,
there's so much love in the air. It's fantastic.
and how they can dance in those shoes like that.
So here we are with our group, and you can see at the bottom of the screen
Oh yeah,
that t-shirt. I should have grabbed ours. I have it
you
in the
do.
hotel room here.
It's fun to
But
be.
as part of your ticket, everybody gets a shirt. I forget there's a Brazilian word for it. I'm sorry, I should have looked it up again. But everybody gets the same shirt and you
Little
all
tank top.
wear them. They were like, no, you have to put the shirt on. It's like, so
But what I have to say, because I love fashion, and I noticed several people had their shirts modified. So women would turn them
oh, they got
into
them early
like
and
a
like did
skirt.
sewing
You
things with
know, I
them.
mean, it was how you could take a piece of fabric, because that was your identifier instead of a wristband.
But what I want to point out is that at about 8 o'clock on the screen, the 8 o'clock on the time dial, you notice that on the opposite side of our grouping is the next ticket group holders. They have different shirts. They were all yellows. So there's like, I don't know, 20 or more different like groupings like this where people get together. And over the years, people go back, they're themed parties. They're like raves. There was this one, which was, you know, with some food and sort of designed to be a little more upscale. It was a little bit of truth in advertising problems, but it was so fun. And so here's some float examples. They're really extravagant.
Yes.
And in between these floats are like hundreds and hundreds of people in that Samba school representing that. This is sort of like you almost like inherit, like you're born into a certain region or neighborhood that goes to certain Samba schools. Here's Rich enjoying a selfie.
Yeah, it's and you know, when we think of carnival, I brought with me my, you know, Fat Tuesday beads that I had like picked up in a bar in Portland 100 years ago, right? Nobody wears those. I was the only one that had a little string of Mardi Gras beads. But speaking of beads, you know,
right,
check her out. And
you
know, they're like all sizes and shapes too. Not everyone looked like her. And you know, she's probably 45.
And they were all absolutely beautiful, men and women. Everybody was just fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's
and
so
she
much.
She walked a whole parade in those platform heels.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And I never saw anyone falter or like, you know, like I'm going to tip over. And some of the older women, you know, had a little more sensible shoes, like you should have.
Right. Yes. Yes.
But most of them, oh my God. Well, there's Samba school performers or dancers. And I think there's probably a competition that, you know, they're judged as they parade through, would be my guess, is what I'm making up. So we, you know, we did all that. Like, you know, we were in bed at 2:30 a.m. and we're like, you know, that's pretty good for our ages.
Yeah.
Right?
And so we did it.
And we didn't drink much at all.
This
which is
the weekend. Yeah, that's the key.
But as
this
we were leaving, it felt like, you know, around midnight, more
people
were
still
just
coming.
Like coming in. For the
not only the people going to be marching, but also, you know,
the younger
like
ones.
The people who go to the bars at 1 a.m.
After our first sleep cycle.
I've never met any of them personally.
No, you haven't.
But my whole life. But so we think, okay, the following Tuesday is Fat Tuesday. So wasn't that fun? Here we are in Brazil. We did Carnival. It's over. Let's move on. We had planned a few other stops.
We got out of the beach town.
Carnival, including the Iguazu Falls at the very end.
Yeah.
And then transitioning over back to Argentina. So we had arranged for a few days in Sao Paulo, and we picked a wonderful hotel.
Again,
in a
great hotel.
Neighborhood. And
We'd met a friend too online as we were traveling. He was going into Egypt, and so I'm like, oh, do this, and he's like, oh, when you get into
so we met us for beer, and it was really great fun.
You know, it's nice to have somebody, again, a young student, and he's like, oh yeah, we can eat here, this is where the cheaper food is.
Yeah, we were like 2 or 3 blocks away from sort of like a, for Portlanders, sort of like a Northwest 23rd kind of a street that you could walk down. It was, but in a much bigger city. I mean, Sao Paulo is a city of like a gazillion people.
So that,
22
you know,
million or something.
Again, the joys of traveling, right? When you meet somebody and they give you tips.
So we knew we were only going to be there for a few days. We considered it a long weekend in Sao Paulo. We would see what we could see.
In museums.
We did a museum or two, and we didn't get too far out of the core of where we were, but we didn't need to.
It was super rainy because there was a hurricane happening. And so we were dodging rainstorms, and you know, typically we go find an Indian restaurant. We did that. But that was a mega downpour. We had to wait like a long time to even then dash out to our car.
I don't even remember
Oh
that.
My God. It
oh
was like
yeah, that's right.
Super rainy.
Right. And this was, near the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like an un, like a, never happened before, one of those weather phenomena that we keep hearing everywhere we go now. Everybody talks about, like, oh, well, the weather's not normal anywhere in the world. So,
and you know, another,
like, never happened like that. It's like it was in the international North American news that we heard in South America.
Right.
It's like, why is this like typhoon equivalent off the coast of Brazil? It's never happened before. So, the funniest thing about Sao Paulo.
Well, I really wanted to go find their main cathedral because I love photographing, you know, churches, cathedrals, and just kind of the excess of whatever they pour into these structures, you know, in that time period. So we're like doing this mega 20,000 step kind of day, and we're like navigating around out of like one region, crossing a freeway bridge, and then
getting back to our neighborhood.
Another big carnival event.
It's
happening.
It's not over.
And so it just was like party, party, party. We observed people. We found a place to have a couple beers and dinner.
Yeah, we walked into unbeknownst to us, into a gay neighborhood street party that was just happening with like a couple thousand people.
Oh yeah, and everyone was beautiful and way younger than us too. So
still celebrating Carnival, and that whole weekend really it was still the party does not end on Fat Tuesday.
And I met a man on the elevator in Chile, in Santiago, and he goes, yeah, you know, I'm from Sao Paulo. And I'm like, wow, we were there, and you know, it felt like Carnival was like still going. And he said, oh, there? He goes, it just goes on and on and on. So it confirmed the energetic of that city. And we really did enjoy it.
Yeah, we really did. I thought that it might feel a little overwhelming. And, you know, of course, I was the one place in the world. I mean, I know that I don't usually take this with us on trips, but I was a little bit concerned about going to Sao Paulo because, you know, you hear about bad things and so forth. No problem at all. If you're listening to this and you've had that worry, don't worry about it. Just your rides from the airport and anywhere you go anyway. And pick the right hotel and go with the right attitude. Oh. And we were just completely loved every minute of
it.
Yes,
there wasn't a moment. I mean, we avoided Rio for Carnival because we thought, oh,
it's just too big.
That's probably too big of an event. Now I'm like, next time we go back down to South America, Rio.
Yeah, if we're there, if we do that, we certainly would go back to Brazil. I mean, we would certainly have a conversation about what we wanted to do there.
Yeah.
I mean, we met such friendly Brazilians that kept adding. We've started to add over the last few years. I always mark on our Google map, like, new places that people suggest. So our whole world map is like dot, 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 everywhere.
Because it's really smart.
People suggest, like, interesting, like, you know, just like the Mendoza event. It's a little bit off the beaten path. Yes, everybody knows about Argentinian wine.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to go there and experience that regional event was really fun. And as it was with Carnival in Brazil.
I'm just flashing because another one of our dear Nancy's besides Nancy Ward U is Nancy Matthews. And I'm thinking Paul's marking on his Google Maps, you know, just hearing these conversations. Like, yeah, I got it. Well, Nancy Matthews, bless her heart, she'd have her little flip notebook out and she'd be, how do you spell that? And she'd be writing it out. And so the technology is like way different, right?
So I want to point out Rich's t-shirt, Nancy. In Portuguese says, it wasn't me. It's like, I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
That is so perfect.
We thought it was age appropriate.
So I didn't tell that story about Nancy Matthews, and it wasn't me. It was Paul.
But anyway, we did wear our themed t-shirts today, and his was sort of like, it wasn't me in Portuguese. And mine is from the Easter Island.
Don't stand
too high. I know, I can't stand too high.
Rapa Nui.
But Rapa Nui, because the last thing we want to talk to you about is
another vibrating
Chile
place.
So, you know, another country where we didn't get quite to the north and we didn't get quite to the south, but you fly out of Santiago to get to Easter Island, and that was sort of a beeline sort of itinerary item that we had arranged.
We had a little day or two before we went out to Easter Island, and we went to a museum, that
in Santiago,
highly,
archaeological museum,
highly recommend.
pre-Columbian museum in
So
Santiago.
it really set us
Really
up for
wonderful.
Easter Island, actually.
Because the when we were in central and northern Andes, and learned that the you know a lot of the Inca civilization only went so far down, and the Santiago they did make it into Chile a little bit, and this museum was a wonderful recap. This is going to be our last stop in South America. It was a wonderful recap in a beautifully done museum, which you can see on our website. We have captured all the, we only put the best museums under the best museums tab. And so that was a fun preamble to our visit to Easter Island. And then you know
Amazing
that flight out
collection.
there, that flight out there is like it's like flying San Francisco to Honolulu. I mean, it's
About
like
5 hours.
5.5 hour flight to get out to a tiny little 7 by 10 by 5 kind of mile island, which we learned forms the southern sort of part of the triangle of Polynesia, with Hawaii in the north, Easter Island in the
That's
south,
right.
and then New Zealand in the west, Nan Madal and in Micronesia, and New Zealand sort of formed this area, sort of forms what is known as Polynesia. And boy, those people are happy.
Oh, talk about
Man,
welcoming people.
they're just happy people.
Again, another place that top of the list for people that are really eager to get out
Well,
and
it's a,
travel South
yeah, it's a
America.
destination. It's a
But
destination.
it did not get, I mean, Paul, seriously, it did not feel like it was like in many places overcrowded, no big buses. It's
No, not at
like you
all.
have to book a tour, you have to have
Yeah,
a guide.
you have to, you know, it's kind of like when we were in the Galapagos about a year ago this spring. We, you know, you have to kind of make these arrangements, throw a little money at it. Galapagos felt a little more
It
expensive, but
was.
you throw a little money at it. You have to have the park ticket. You have to have a guide to go to visit the Moai, MOAI, the Moai, which are these
Big
figures.
statues.
Everybody knows those.
Yes.
And
Maybe
we
not.
have one picture to show you, which is not of the, well, actually it is of the Moai, but we made a good choice by going with, I want to say it's Green Turtle or Green Tortoise Tours. It's on our website. But we ended up going with a small group
There were
tour.
six of
We could have
us.
gone just like, we could have just hired somebody and gone the two of us, but we went with like a little sort of short bus group, and it was spectacular. Great group of people, and it was a wonderful way to explore. We did 2 days of touring with them, and we were there long enough to like rest a day and do these tours and go see things and learn a little bit. And still, we had a lot of questions about what the hell's going
I
on
think our
here.
first day was probably more impactful and powerful than the second day tour.
Yeah,
But
it
yet,
was.
I'm glad we did it.
Totally.
I mean, we were at an old volcano that erupted like 2.5 million years ago,
Well, the
and
3 points of the island are all old,
volcanic.
all volcanic craters. And so that's what's left. I mean, as with everything else, you know, 400 feet of additional sea rise over the last 12 or 13,000 years, a lot of land has been consumed. So what's left is this little Easter Island. But,
Well, I just remember coming down off of the volcano, and the tour guide goes, "Ah, see this big runway strip? Yeah, that's the emergency landing for the Challenger."
Space Shuttle, American,
And
NASA is one of their, if, you know, when they're up and doing their thing, if they need to come down in someplace other than Cape Canaveral or wherever they come down, they've got places around the world. And this Easter Island is one of these, oh my God, we're over the Pacific and we have to come down somewhere. They come down in Easter
What a
Island,
big investment
which
for.
it did come down there one time. I believe they said it came down there once, didn't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, I that's
I'm
I
gonna Google
think I
that.
remember that.
People
But
have to Google that, because
Yeah, I
that, can
don't
you
remember that
imagine
one.
what a thrill that would be for that community?
No
Whoa.
kidding.
So
It was
there's
rumble that freaking island.
a couple of spots on the island where you don't have to have the ticket or go through the rigmarole to see the Moai, and it happens to be in the one of the little towns, the main little town. So we chose a
The
place,
right place again.
Takarua Lodge. I happen to remember the name
Ooh.
of it. Extra credit.
His memory is like his mom.
Right outside the one of the two places. So we could go do the Moai sunsets every night.
Yeah.
It was
Our first night in particular
amazing.
was mind-blowing.
So
Yeah.
we were there long enough to do these little tours with a great group of small group of people,
Yeah.
enjoy the island. But what we missed telling you was that one of the coolest things, really, we on the plane on the way over, we were it was like a 333 configuration on the plane, and we were,
One flight a day.
one flight a day in both
Yeah.
directions from Santiago. And I think you can fly from there to Tahiti once a week or something like that, which I wish we would have known about. I would have maybe done it.
Yeah.
But our seatmate was a young Chilean man that we befriended, and wasn't staying where we were, but he wasn't too far away, and so we had a chance to circle back and hang out with him several times in our time there. And that just was
Again.
a great way to learn too. He lived in a small lives in a small town
Oh,
in a
man.
southern in to the south of where we were, and so not I guess almost at the edge of Patagonia.
Yeah.
And so we were able to learn more about Chile
Well, it
and
was again, I'm just flashing now as we tell you this story because he met an elder woman who worked as a policeman guarding these, this area that we would go watch the sunset. And Christopher is his name, and he's like a medical tech at a hospital, I believe. And so anyway, we were going to meet and go have lunch, and I'm like noticing he's having this big conversation, and I'm like, okay, I'll read the New York Times on my phone and just kill time and be polite, not go, okay, come on. Well, he was having this in-depth conversation with this woman who looked like a man. And I said, tell me about what that conversation was. And he said that there was a time when the Chilean sheep industry came in and captured, essentially rounded up the locals, put them in behind rock walls. They were not allowed to go outside that boundary in their own land. And the only time they could go away was to go and herd the sheep and
and
tend to
work.
the sheep and
They were slaves.
work for this big sheep industry.
They were corralled into one, like, triangle sort of boomerang area,
So
boomerang corner of the island. They were corralled in there and held basically captive for I forget how long.
the other, tears down the cheek is that she was speaking of the physical abuse, the sexual abuse that occurred during that era, 1919, and forward, probably, I don't know, a few decades. And that there's just so much wounding of these people on the island as a result of what happened. And, there was, after I heard that
All over the
story,
world, isn't it? Well, it was the same
yeah.
thing. One of the other places we visited in
Yeah.
Brazil too had quite the colonial history that they've, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and they
Santiago.
still are really happy people. They didn't seem bitter either toward us or to the Chilean mainlanders. But
Well,
we ended.
it just what I'll just finish this because I just felt like, I just my hope is that their elders come together in ceremony and really honor those events and to really bring rest and peace to their ancestors' souls so that that wound doesn't keep repeating, it doesn't just poison their beautiful spirits because
Well, it doesn't seem like it has.
it's just an interesting travel backstory as a result of meeting Christopher and getting the translation and
So what nationality was it that took over?
they were from
They were Chilean.
Chilean
Well, I mean, they were
mainland.
they were Spaniard colonists.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
From
they
Chile.
came there because of the sheep.
Yeah.
That they
The
decided to
grazing.
use the sheep for. Let me see if I can find this picture. So, ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
We have
What do you
one
think?
last picture, which was the end.
Oh,
Okay,
not her again, but
that's
hello.
it.
It's
So,
like, so again, this tour, 2-day tour on Easter Island included stargazing. And
right.
what was
So I
happening
have to just
there
go
was
find it.
like it would either be too windy, it would be too cloudy, and you would have to check in at 8 p.m. And then we would find out if, you know, the stargazing would happen, and they would pick you up at 9 and then drop you off like after midnight. So again, the group of 6 of us, including a lovely family from Canada, they were taking their daughter on her senior trip as she was graduating high school. So
Oh
they were a
God,
delightful family.
I can't find it.
Oh, Polly. All right.
All right.
So,
I had it queued. There was one picture of us stargazing.
here.
Oh,
I
you showed it earlier.
and
Okay,
no,
yeah, I
that was
know.
the
It was I was
teaser
gonna talk
by
about it here,
mistake.
but that was
Yeah.
how we were gonna end. I'm not, we'll persevere.
I'll find it. You talk.
Yeah. Like the pro
Stargazing with telescopes. I mean, that evening was crazy.
Yeah, the same people that we did the 2-day tour with, the Green Turtle Tours on Easter Island, offers a stargazing evening, and it's sort of weather permitting.
Oh yeah, that's such a fabulous
I
shot.
mean, that was not doctored up. I mean,
Yes.
that
I know, it
was,
doesn't look real at all.
it
It
does
looks
not
totally
look, it,
fake
well, they
because
had
no
it, yeah, they had us as
like that.
long exposure. They're like, don't move.
Yes.
But it was more than just that. They took us out and they had a few. They were really cool. It was a small group. And they hadn't done it for a while because of the weather, and they couldn't do it the next night. So
Yeah.
we were really lucky and it was really clear.
My favorite
And
part was his the main tour guy, his wife,
yeah, that's not really, you should do
no, it doesn't
this.
go that way.
Oh.
His wife made the best hot chocolate. So like about midnight, they come out serving
This
just
is the
this small
picture.
group. That is the picture.
There's a different one that shows all the
Oh,
moai.
here's
Yeah,
one.
this is the one.
Oh, shoot. That's, but yeah. All right. Good job, Paul.
Okay, hold.
Good memory.
Yeah, hold it closer.
Oh,
Close. Hug
wow.
close.
Wow.
So on the north, I think it's the North Shore, or is it west? These moai all point out to the ocean. And you know, when the Polynesians arrived in, oh God, I
I
forget
thought
which
they turned
year.
their faces into the island.
Moai were there. So while they adopted, I mean, the way the story's told is that the Polynesians adopted the tradition and the ritual that the Moai represented, but they were, this is what's the mystery. I mean, they don't know really much about it. So
Right.
there is a handful of Moai that are out, made out of granite,
Yes,
but the
yes.
ones that we see
Okay.
are, okay. The ones that we see are made out of volcanic rock and are more current and recent in historical terms. But there's just a lot of mystery that we didn't really dig too deeply into. We'd read about some of that before we got there.
Well, and they have unearthed like what, a less than 2,000, and we actually visited the quarry in one of the regions that these
Yeah.
moray were created, literally carved off the rock sides and somehow rocked and walked
Yeah.
into place. And
Pretty amazing.
so when we asked, well, I think one of the people in the tour group, this is what's nice about when you have a few other people, you don't have to ask all the questions. They said, well, are you going to, you know, keep digging out more of them? And his comment was, no, I don't think we need to do any more of that. He said, you know, rather than investing all that money in the digs, I would rather have a solar installation so we can get off of fossil fuel on the island.
Yeah,
Now,
one guy.
yeah,
This is not like a,
he's our tour guide.
well, I mean, that's just his opinion, but yeah, there
Sure.
isn't
I
a lot
like
of.
that. That's a pretty progressive opinion.
No
Yeah,
shit,
he's a pretty
Shirley.
cool guy.
Yeah.
So, That's everything we wanted to talk to you about.
Is
And I
it?
think we're right at an hour. We're at 11:11 our time. And
Oh my gosh, this has just been fabulous, you guys.
I mean,
Wow.
well, we hardly let you say a word.
I know. Should
I haven't, what, you want me to tell you about my trip to Hood River?
Absolutely. Yes, I love Hood River. Are you out windsurfing again? It's the best.
No,
It's the best
oh my,
windsurfing. Yeah.
yes. But no, this is what we all came here to hear about these fabulous experiences that you're having.
Well,
Wow.
you
I
know,
mean,
it's
that airplane story is like nothing I've ever heard before. That's just simply amazing.
our it'll
Yeah.
be our last emergency plane
I
landing
pray
story.
that it
Yeah,
yeah.
as emergency goes, that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, landing where we were
Totally.
destined. Yeah.
Landing exactly where you wanted to be,
Yeah.
and the
Yeah.
fact that they let you off, I just can't understand.
Yeah.
I don't
Right.
think that would
Oh
ever
no.
happen in the
No, no. It
United
won't
States.
happen. Oh yeah.
Well, you know
Yeah.
what frightened me
Oh
too? This is
no,
another little
no.
side story. We're like, you know, had checked our bags in this real
Oh yeah, we've.
hot, sweaty, like we're all going to die before they let us out onto the plane to get to
Yeah.
Santiago. And they didn't even bother to like open, they could have opened the doors and just let some air
True.
in. No, they were trying to kill us off.
Tiny little
And
airport.
so, but before, like we're, you know, putting our bags, you know, through, right, at the counter. And
Right.
I'm like standing back, and I see a woman is given permission to go behind the counter and put things back into her luggage. And that was like, how can she do that? That would never happen in the United States. And in many countries,
Security breach.
you would never let somebody slip something. I'm like, Paul, what do you think she's putting in there? And
Well,
then,
I didn't.
of course, I don't think the worst that moment. I was like, she had a baby. I was like, okay, let's just hope that it's something to do with the baby and not like
Well,
the other B
I
word.
didn't think that that was what you were going to say, because what was really funny about that is that we don't normally fly looking like we're going to Disneyland, you know? So here we were arriving in Mendoza at this five-star hotel, and we're in like the ratty ass shit that we had on from Iguazu Falls for 2 days, because in here and on our website under our Reels section, we have some stories that we were telling in real time about that crazy, like Rich kept thinking, oh, we're going to get the luggage to the next day. I'm like, oh, honey, this is
Oh,
going to be 2 days.
I was trying to
Trust me.
manifest that bag coming, you know, right away
So,
because we were going to go to a wine event at this like foo-foo five-star hotel. And we're looking
and they
down, and
canceled.
I had a
They
migraine,
were like
and
in black. It was almost black
everyone was
tie.
like super dressed. Here we are in these like sweaty clothes that we really didn't
So
look.
we went
We
to
look
the
like
front desk.
backpackers.
We went to the front desk. So not only they had let us out of one night of the pricey hotel, but they were like, no problem about the tickets, because we were like, we're not, we can't go.
We're just
So
not tourists.
so we
It
didn't,
wasn't a
oh gosh,
naked
we
place.
weren't traveling in our resort wear. We were traveling in our river rat wear. Yeah. But it was all good because it was warm in Mendoza too. So we weren't out of character on the street, just a
Yeah.
little bit at the hotel.
Some of those other people did buy new clothes because they were still busy waiting,
Yeah.
but we
But
didn't.
anyway,
We give away clothes.
that's a wrap on our South American adventure.
Well, I'll tell you, that was
Our
absolutely
first time.
fascinating.
Yeah,
Oh.
between starting in the spring up north in Ecuador, you might remember,
Yeah.
and ending down south some months later in Chile, with an in-between winter summer in Europe,
Yeah.
and everything else. But yeah, so yeah, that's pretty much a wrap from here.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Thank you. Thank you for taking us with you. This has just been so delightful.
Oh,
Can't wait
Nancy.
for the next one.
Well, I
Oh.
can't wait either. And thank you all, as
You know, that's
always,
going to be
for
Japan.
your
25
role.
days in Japan. That's what
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the
I
tease.
just gobbled up your Japan pictures. I just loved them, loved them, loved them. Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
Okay.
continue enjoying the springtime in Portland, and we
Yes.
will jump back in the pool here naked in moments.
Sounds good. You
Soon.
lucky ducks.
Okay. All
All
right. With
right. Love you
that,
so much.
love you too. Bye-bye.
keep shining bright, Nancy. Love you
Bye-bye.
so much.